It's time to find balance and be refreshed here on Every Heart, Every Woman.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Get ready for uplifting music and inspiring interviews.
Every Heart, Every Woman.
Let's get motivated to move forward as we share our life experiences. Host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome to the show, everyone. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. We're so glad that you've tuned in with us today. We have a great interview set up for you, but before we get into that, we're going to set the tone with a little bit of live music. This is The Holy One by Visible Worship. Sit back and enjoy.
This love is so pure. This love that fills my soul. This love I can't endure. Lord, fill me.
I'm Carla Nivens. I am your host for the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. I have my good friend, Vicki McMurray, with me as co-host today.
Hey, Carla, Vicki. It's good to be back in the saddle.
Yes. Vicki was out last week traveling with
the hubby. Yes, it was nice. We went to Florida. He had business and I had fun. It was relaxing. It was great.
That is wonderful. Well, we're so glad to have you back with us, Vicki. Everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. You can find more information about Love Ministries from their website. Go to loveministriesbuilds.org. So let's get into our conversation for today. Our guest today is a commercial and television actor and voiceover artist. Her name is Vanessa DeCilio.
Hello. Hey, Vanessa.
Hi, Vanessa.
Hi.
Vanessa has a Master's of Art in Acting from SMU. She has worked for the Dallas Theater Center, Theater 3, Kitchen Dog Theater, National Theater Institute, KD Conservatory of Film and Dramatic Arts, and UNT. She is represented currently by the Mary Collins Agency and was most recently named as an ambassador for Statera Arts. Statera Arts is focused on bringing more women into full and equal participation in the arts.
Most of all.
After all that was a lot, Vanessa. But the best thing about Vanessa, she's a wife and a mom of two wonderful boys. So thanks so much for
being here,
Vanessa.
It is a pleasure to be here. Thank you so much for the invite.
Well, we appreciate you coming in. And so that list that we read, you know, that's a lot. And I love that it started with you getting your Master's of Arts in acting from SMU. Is that like a normal that most actresses and actors get go that high in their degree?
You know, it's becoming a thing. It's becoming more I mean, I think probably, so I got it a couple years, you know, it was 2012 when I graduated. It was a Master of Fine Arts in Acting. And I mean, I specifically was looking at a fine arts degree because I received a BA in theater as an undergraduate. It was a Bachelor of Arts. So it was more of a liberal arts approach to theater, which was still a wonderful, wonderful training, wonderful education. It was at Manhattanville College in Purchase, New York. Okay. But I just felt like I wanted more of that sort of conservatory style training, which was going to really focus on the craft and the training, the real training elements of, you know, getting on my feet and getting on stage and really performing. And so I looked at a Master of Fine Arts as something that I needed as an actor. But some actors get a BFA and they call it quits. That's enough of the training that they need, and they find that they start working right after. And other actors might end up pursuing a graduate degree. With a graduate degree, you can teach theater. And so that was one thing that I really wanted to do. Yeah, I wanted to teach.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I've taught at UNT, at SMU, and at KD Conservatory. And those were opportunities that were presented to me once I had that MFA. You've got that MFA, you can teach and you can impart wisdom on others. So my SMU training was so important and was really classic based. A lot of, you know, classical theater, Shakespeare and classic works, and really focused on, you know, the full body voice, physicality, and really training as an actor should, you know.
Yes.
You
don't see her, but she's moving her hands and being very theatrical.
Yes. She is.
Sharing with us her passion.
So that was a big part of who I am is my training at SMU. And once I graduated, found that I had a great theater community here in Dallas and felt compelled to stay and just continue to build on that foundation that I had already started with the Dallas Theater Center while I was training at SMU, and just found myself working with a lot of other theaters and found this is a wonderful place for artists to cultivate their craft and to continue to grow and make connections with other artists here.
Yeah.
So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Because you've been booked in so many different roles. I remember one time, weren't you pregnant and they called you in? Something happened to one of the actresses and they were like, okay, you got like 2 days to prepare.
Oh my gosh,
and
she was. Yes, you
remember.
Yeah,
you were preparing and got on right on up there.
That was the book club play. They did that at Dallas Theater Center. And one of the lead actresses, Christy Vela, she's wonderful, but she had an unfortunate family, you know, incident, emergency. And so she had to be out for a couple of days. And the show was running, was full on running. So I did audition for the role a couple of months earlier and loved it, you know, and it was a great part. And I guess they, you know, they reached out to me, called me up and said, could you fill in for her? Now, she is on stage the entire show. It's an hour and a half. I immediately said, okay, if I do this, you can't expect me to be off book or memorized. Like, I've got to have my script in my hand. If you're okay with that, I'm okay with that. And they said, sure. So they gave me an iPad. And I literally, you know, had my iPad in hand and rehearsed the day before I went on. I ended up going on twice for her, so two shows. And what a rush, you know, to have your script in hand and to still, you know, you're about making connections with the actors and telling the story with the actors that are on stage with you. But there's something really kind of exciting because you don't know the play like the back of your hand. You don't know it because you haven't rehearsed it enough. So it really forces you, and it really forces you to listen to the other actors. Okay, and here's my response is what's written here in this text. And, you know, it's it really forces you to just be fully present. You're not thinking ahead. You are in the moment right now, you know, and just taking it in. So, my gosh, it was really a thrill. But I think I still have nightmares about that. You know, that like I'm going to get called. I'm going to get called to go on stage and here's your script and go. And, you know, somewhere along the way, it's like, oh, I lose my place in the iPad or something.
Oh, my goodness.
And, you know,
yes, I didn't even think about that. So the iPad was like a prop for you? Because it was
like a prop. Yeah.
That's great.
I mean, the audience was warned before I went on stage that, you know, the lead actress who's filling in will have an iPad with her. And so at first it probably is a little bit, you know, for an audience, they're going, what? Why is she holding this? And it's kind of, it's in the way. But I hope that by the end of the show, it was just kind of part of the story.
Right.
It was part of the story now. She just has this, and she kind of looks down occasionally to read her next line. But
I
was a thrill.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I think good for you to be open to taking a chance like that and the challenge, especially being pregnant.
Yes, I was. So I think at the time I was like 4 months pregnant. So I wasn't quite starting to show, but I was. And so that was, but yeah, that was a thrill. I could already start to build my son's resume.
You know,
I could say
I love it.
Yeah.
I love it. So tell us about, now, of course, that was memorable for me. I remember that. But tell us from your perspective, what has been a kind of a memorable role that you got?
Yeah, man, I guess the first one that comes to mind is my most recent role. And I mean, it really was a memorable and beautiful experience. So the last show I did was The Moors, written by Jen Silverman at Theater 3, which is in Uptown Dallas. And the role of Emily, the governess, man, I mean, it was just such a fun and challenging and just compelling role. I loved every minute of it. And I think it's because, so the play itself is set in Victorian Gothic England. Victorian Gothic genre is the genre. And so there's that.
Okay.
And my character shows up and she is a governess, so she's there to look after the children on the estate. And she shows up, and there are no children on the estate. And the world is very different. Yes, yes, right?
It's not Mary Poppins.
No. It's funny that you say that, because we would laugh about this character. She shows up like she's Mary Poppins.
Oh,
she's so
funny.
Excited to be there.
Yes.
She's so elated. She's in love with one of the characters who she's been corresponding with via mail, writing back and forth. So she shows up, and she's so eager. And there's no children, and this male that she thought she was writing love letters to is not there. And you as an audience are trying to figure out what's happening in this world along with her, with Emily. So by the end of the play, she is totally, I mean, the transformation is entirely different. She is grounded, rooted, she's powerful, she's no nonsense, she's cutthroat, she's very different,
strong.
You know, through the journey that she experiences in the world of this play. So as an actress, to take that on physically, vocally, to, you know, to have this journey, it was just very fulfilling. And I had a blast. And not only was the role fulfilling, the experience with the theater was also wonderful. The cast, out of five characters, four out of the five are female. So there was a lot, or was it five out of six? 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it was five out of six. Yeah. Five out of six were female. And, you know, so there was a lot of just that sort of energy that you get from working with other women who are on this journey. And we were, I was inspired by a lot of the work that I was, that was surrounding me. And so it was such a great, experience. And the director was also phenomenal, Garrett Storms. He's an actor and director here in Dallas. And it was one of those experiences where everything came together so well.
Oh, that's fantastic. And, yeah. Such a good feeling. I have a question. Mm-hmm. It's off of our script here, Carla.
Hey, go on script.
My question is, so I'm thinking about all the roles and in particular the last one that you had, and you've got two kids now, which, by the way, how old are your boys?
They are 3.5 and 16 months.
Okay, yeah,
yes.
Right. Littles. Yes. So you have littles, littles at home. So how do you balance doing something like that? Because you have to be all in, focused, present.
Yes.
So
yes.
How do you, I know you have a great husband. He's a really great guy. Mm-hmm. We know Vanessa from church.
Mm-hmm.
And
right, we do.
So tell me how that works for you.
Well, I mean,
what does that look like?
The balance is probably the hardest thing. And it's one of the reasons, you know, we'll get into that when we talk about Statera,
yes.
the organization I'm with now. But the balance really is, it is so challenging because as a mom, you know, I realize that I have two passions now in my life, mm-hmm. my passion for the arts mm-hmm. and my passion for my boys. And it's finding that it can be really, it's daunting and it's very challenging. I sometimes feel like I feel guilt, a strong guilt when I take on a lot or mm-hmm. I take on too much mm-hmm. because I'm not around as much for the
right.
boys. And then at the same time, if I turn down work, I feel like I'm closing opportunities.
Sure.
I'm shutting down, you know, opportunities. And I don't want to be seen as an actor who's no longer committed or reliable, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so being a parent and an artist is so, so challenging. And I am constantly trying to find that, you know, where is that tension coming from? Is it just me personally, or is it something that's, you know, also just ingrained in this industry that you kind of have to be one or the other, a parent or an artist? You can't really be both.
Pave the way.
Yes, right? That's
pave
what I'm hoping
the way.
To do. Exactly,
yes.
right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm
yeah.
I'm hoping that an organization like Statera will help to put my voice out there mm-hmm. as an artist and also to connect me with other artists in the community who are parents as well.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
so we can find a support, we can find a community, and we can find ways to, you know, to raise awareness to other theaters of, you know, how can we make our facilities more family friendly?
Right, because corporate America is doing that or attempting.
Yeah.
You know, not all businesses, but many, many businesses are doing that.
Yeah.
And even school districts. When I taught school, we mm-hmm. had many school districts provide and help find childcare if you need it. And
yeah.
I know
mm-hmm.
in the theater mm-hmm. it's different. Other than weekends, you're going to be in the evenings, not a matinee in the afternoon, but. Still, there's got to be a way for there to be a support network, a community, if you will, of, you know, it takes a village to raise our
it
kids.
Does.
And even if you have a super supportive husband,
right,
he might want to come see you in the play, you know,
right,
and
right.
and
exactly.
who's going to watch
yeah,
the
yeah.
kids, because I know
yeah.
your family's not here.
Right.
I remember.
My family's
yes,
not. Yeah. I have a great sitter.
Mm-hmm.
She's wonderful and she's been very useful. She's been watching both boys since they were 6 weeks old. So she's
yeah.
great. I mean, she's reliable. She's wonderful. And I really am blessed to have her because I don't have family. It would be wonderful if I had my mom or my
right.
mother-in-law here,
mm-hmm.
you know, to look mm-hmm. after the boys when I have to go out for a quick audition or I booked a quick gig. You
right.
know, voiceovers
sure.
and commercial stuff is fast. But plays and stage work, I mean, it's a commitment. It's a huge commitment.
Mm-hmm.
So what my husband and I have sort of created, we've created a sort of pact between me and him that I'll do a play a year. And I'm content. Like, if I can do a play a year,
okay.
I'm good.
I was curious. Okay.
You know,
because that's your true love.
Yeah. I mean, I love it. I just do. I love it so much. It's what, I mean, it really is what keeps me going in the industry. It's
yes.
so, there's such a joy to go into rehearsals and to learn these characters and then to perform night after night after night. It's wonderful. You know, it's really
yeah.
something
yeah.
that I look forward to all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so if I can do a play a year, I'm happy. I feel fulfilled. I feel like I'm getting that creative, you know, energy going.
Right.
And then I'm,
yes.
I come back to my boys, and I'm energized and ready to give them attention
right.
and time. And
because you, mm-hmm. you've been fed.
Yes, right. I've been fed yeah. creatively. I've been right, right.
Mm-hmm. So. I remember that. Was it? It may have been before. I think because we had a conversation, mm-hmm. you and I did before, maybe before you had
mm-hmm.
the boys, about you know. Because you were asking me that same question.
How do
like,
I, yes.
How do you,
yes,
yes how do you find yeah. that balance? Did you stop? And, you know, for me, after I had Naomi, I think we, you know, I really did want to stay
mm-hmm.
home
mm-hmm.
with
mm-hmm.
Naomi. And so I mm-hmm. did do that for a bit. But being out of, you know, like you said, having that outlet for the arts. It to me, it takes your mind and your body kind of like on a trip, on the road. We have to, I don't know, we got to sing. We have to perform.
Yeah.
Like we it's like a must. And so after I had Roosevelt, I went right back. So I think I was off for maybe just a week. And then,
you know, right back
just
at it.
Went right back. And I felt so good, you know,
doing
that.
It's almost like
that.
It makes you a better parent when you are able to to have those creative outlets, too, and to serve yourself. Because we do so much for our kids. We often forget about, well, what's good for ourselves, you know, our souls.
Right.
And what,
right,
us feel like we're, you know, we're fulfilling that craving, you know, to get out and do things for ourselves. So, I totally am. I'm mainly at home, but I love to step out for auditions and step out for quick gigs and then occasionally do a play or two. And it just makes me feel like I'm a better parent in the long run. Yeah.
Yeah. I like that because it gives everyone listening hope that you can strike a balance. Like you can, and everyone's different, you know, and it's the same. Like I have friends who are, doctors. And so it's the same.
The schedules,
like there's, we just have to figure it out and we can strike a balance so that you can be fulfilled. And then when you're with the kids, you can be fully present and fully yourself.
And it's been great for my husband too. This last show I did, The Moors, he was, you know, it was about 2 months of him putting the boys to bed every night, coming home and being with them in the evenings while I was off to rehearsal in the evenings and then performances in the evenings. And he ended up creating this strong bond with these boys over 2 months that I noticed, especially with the younger one. He's like all about his daddy now, all about dad. And it was as a result of those, you know, those evenings together where dad was really able to just, you know, have that connection with his boys. So it was great in the long run for the family.
So, Vanessa, when did you discover wanting to be an actress? And then what did you do to foster growth as an actress?
So I first discovered I wanted to be an actress when, gosh, I mean, from a very, very young age, I guess my parents, according to them, they have told me that I would play, you know, imaginative playing with my imaginary friends all the time. And they would often find me crying, like full on crying. And they would come up to me and say, "What's wrong, Vanessa?" And I would say, "Oh, no, I'm just playing. I'm just playing," and snap out of it and then go right back into it. So from a very young age, my parents could see that I had this sort of, you know, desire to be very dramatic and to have these dramatic conversations. And they caught quite a few of these on camera. I've seen them. They're pretty hilarious. But yeah, I was, you know, 3 or 4 and engaging in this way. It was probably from just watching, you know, Spanish soap operas while my mom would watch them, you know. But I, my parents quickly learned that that was something I loved. And so they put me in my first play at age 6. I was in The King and I. It was a college production. And I was the youngest cast member. And I remember being on stage and just feeling like, wow, this is pretty awesome. And this is, I don't know if you really can at age 6 know that this is what you want to do for the rest of your life, but I did, you know, I knew, I want to do this. This is amazing. I remember just feeling so full of pride and joy. And, you know, in the sad scenes, there's a real sad scene at the end of The King and I, close to the end, where someone's, you know, on their deathbed, and I would like actually feel like I could cry, and I just felt that was so cool. You know, I was so invested, and so little 6-year-old me knew at that time that this is what I'm supposed to do. This is really what I want to do with my life. And I continued to foster that, you know, through high school. I did a lot of high school musicals, and wasn't a part of the drama club really until maybe my senior year, and that just propelled me into wanting to go and pursue it in undergrad. So I went on to Manhattanville College, as I said earlier, got my BA in dance and theater, and that 4-year program really helped me to just do it all day, all the time. I got a BA in psychology as well, so I did a double major, and that was just the, you know, practical me saying, okay, well, you know, in case theater falls through, I've got this BA in psychology I can do something with. But it was my sophomore year that I went away for a semester and I studied at the National Theater Institute in Waterford, Connecticut. And that was, you know, a 15-week program where it was, I mean, full on immersion into the world of theater. So no psychology classes, no outside distractions. It was full on theater. And that was where I learned, yeah, I mean, this is for me. And I'm going to keep doing this and I'll pursue my BA in psychology, but I'm really going to put this theater stuff to use.
Well, let's take a break, everyone. Let's press the pause button. And then we've got so much more to talk about. I feel like we just only talked about like two things. So we'll be back in a minute.
Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman. Every heart, every woman.
You're listening to Every Heart, Every Woman, the show where women find balance, peace, and inspiration. Now let's get back to the show with your host, Carla Nivens.
Welcome back to the Every Heart, Every Woman radio show. My name is Carla Nivens. I am your host, and I've got my good friend, woo-hoo, Vicki McMurray, co-hosting today. Hey, Vicki.
Hey, hon. How are you?
Doing good. Doing good.
Having fun talking to our friend today.
We are. We are. It's always so much fun when the person we're talking to is a friend of ours,
yes,
and we have like a lot of background. Mm-hmm. We do veer from our questions.
Yes, we do.
Which we have done, but that's okay, because we know Vanessa very well. We are talking with Vanessa DeSilvio, and Vanessa is an actress and has been a friend of ours for the last couple of years. But recently, Vanessa has joined with Statera, and Statera works to expand employment options, improve salary, and remove barriers through mentorship, research, engagement, networking, and support of female actors. So, Vanessa, this is new to us. So, actually, we, Vicki and I, mm-hmm, haven't talked to you since you've joined with Statera. So, what does your role with Statera include?
So, I am officially an ambassador for Statera.
Okay.
And I just joined, you know, 2-3 weeks ago. I literally just
Congratulations.
Joined.
Congratulations.
Yes, thank you. And I'm very excited to take on this opportunity with this organization. I should mention that their focus is, yeah, on bringing women into full and equal participation in the arts, not just in theater, in all arts.
Okay.
And it's really focused on women of all races, all ethnicities. So it's just, if you consider yourself a woman and you are an artist, they support you, you know. And, as an ambassador, they asked me to be an ambassador for them, and my focus is on this sort of stuff, you know, having mm-hmm. these sort of word of mouth conversations, grassroots efforts of just spreading word about what Statera is and what we're for and how artists in my community here and nationally, internationally even, can connect with an organization like this that is about supporting and bringing women into the forefront, especially when involved in arts. And we have quite a bit of ways to go. You know, there's a mm-hmm. lot that we can achieve, and but I do feel like this organization is going to really propel women forward, especially women like I mentioned in the earlier part of this interview, as a mom, you know, as a mm-hmm. mom and an artist, to feel like you have a group that you can connect with. I can start to find other theater artists who are parents as well,
okay,
in the industry, and to feel like I'm not alone,
right?
And I have as an ambassador, I can talk to them about, you know, what Statera is doing to help women who also have children,
yeah.
But also a big part of, you know, my identity as an actor is also the fact that I'm Latina,
mm-hmm.
and was raised in a Venezuelan household. Both of my parents are Venezuelan, so I speak fluent Spanish. I speak it to my boys.
Mm-hmm.
And so being a Latina artist is also something that is very important to me. And by becoming an ambassador for Statera, I am able to connect with other Latinos in this community and in this nation, you know,
mm-hmm.
Who are also identifying as artists. And for me, it's really about promoting awareness of what, you know, what Latinos can do in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
I wrote a blog a couple months ago when I was in the Moors.
Mm-hmm.
It's all coming back to the Moors
yeah.
and Theater 3. But they asked me to write a blog about anything that was important to me as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, of course, it's going to come down to being Latina. It's mm-hmm. something that is so important mm-hmm. to me. And I wrote about specifically about my perspective on actors of color and casting.
Mm-hmm.
And it was really well received. The blog was well received, and I'm still so eager to talk about, you know, what I was able to come across in this blog. But I really focused on when I go into audition for roles, it's very often that I go in for Latina roles. Mm-hmm. Latina mom, Latina best friend, Latina, you know, next door, mm-hmm. Fiery, feisty Latina. Those are the roles I audition for. And oftentimes people ask me if that is stifling, if I feel like that is limiting me as an actor. And it's interesting because I don't feel that way.
Oh, okay, I was actually thinking that just before you said that. I went, well, that's
I really
interesting.
Don't. Yeah. And I think it's just because I was raised in a family that I was told every day that, you know, I was one of the only kids in my school who spoke Spanish, you mm-hmm. know, at home. And so for me, it made me special. It made me unique.
Absolutely.
And I identified very much with my Venezuelan culture. Mm-hmm. And this is something I hope to pass on to my sons mm-hmm. as well, who are, my older one is speaking Spanish mm-hmm. with me mm-hmm. fluently, you know, and switches to English with his dad. But yeah, this sort of identity of being Latino is so important. And for me, I'm always eager to play these roles that mm-hmm. are written for me, mm-hmm. you know, right. roles that I can play because it's who I am. Right. And it's also because we have so many stories to tell yes. as right. Latinos. And right. I think that's my job as an actor is to help tell these stories mm-hmm. that can reach out to audiences who are watching, especially Latino audiences.
I don't mean to interrupt. So mm-hmm. in any of your performances, have you switched between Spanish since you're fluent in Spanish, Spanish and English? Have you?
Yeah. Okay. So I did the one that comes to mind. I did Mariachi Girl at Dallas Children's Theater.
Oh, yes.
And I played the mom in that. And there was some Spanish and English, you know. And so I also got to sing a mariachi song with on
wonderful.
Stage.
She has a beautiful voice, by the way, people.
Thank you. Gorgeous voice, yes.
Thank you. But, yeah, so that was really exciting, you know, mm-hmm. exciting to play that. And, again, assuming the role of Latina mom, but playing it with such heart, you know. Mm-hmm. It was a very, very fulfilling and fun role. And I've also played roles with Cara Mia Theater Company. I did a show there called Milagritos. And in that one, I was an artist, a painter, mm-hmm. Chicana painter. And so in that play, I also had quite a bit of Spanish and English. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, heck yeah, it's who I am. And I love to play these roles. But at the same time, in this blog, I was talking about how it's also, you know, it's also exciting when I can, you know, take on a role that isn't
right.
specifically mm-hmm. written
like the
for Latina.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like the Morris, yeah. So this role, her name was Emily, you know, there's no mention of her skin color mm-hmm. or anything. I mean, it does take place in Victorian England, so typically it's played by a white female, mm-hmm. you would expect. But they hired me, and it was so exciting and liberating to play mm-hmm. a role like that, where it's more about the journey of the character and not really paying much attention to my skin
right.
color. So more and more theaters are doing that nowadays, you know, encouraging actors of color to get out and audition. And some actors like to call it colorblind casting, mm-hmm. where, okay, it's a colorblind casting. We don't care what your skin color is. We're just interested in telling the story.
That's great.
And if you fit the part, you fit the
yeah.
part. Great, you know. But other actors choose to call it color-conscious mm-hmm. casting, where it's not about, you know, it's not about denying mm-hmm. the skin color mm-hmm. or being blind to that. It's about actually casting a person of color in this role to shed a new light on the mm-hmm. story.
Right. Okay.
Or perhaps to just tell the story in a different way. So, you know, Shakespeare is an example where they might hire, you know, an all actors of color cast mm-hmm. of a
or
production
Hamilton.
Of... Right, of Hamilton. Mm-hmm. Right, exactly, right? I mean, you're seeing more
you're
money...
Seeing such
right.
a melting pot of our,
exactly.
our world.
In a story that
right.
would not be,
oh,
you
not
know,
at all.
Told with persons
right.
of color. So that's a perfect
yes.
example, yeah. So more and more theaters are doing mm-hmm. that, and that's wonderful. And I think Statera, as an organization, is helping artists of color, persons of color, to get out there and audition,
good.
You know, and to motivate them to get out and to make their have their voices be heard. But also, Statera is helping to educate institutions to bring on more persons of color on their staff, on their board of directors,
great.
On their, you know, writing staff, the directors, you know, to bring in people. Persons of color, so they can help tell these stories.
Right, and so when you're talking about colorblindness, I mean, I've even used this statement before, and now I've totally edited myself. I'm not colorblind. I used to tell people I'm not colorblind. Well, I'm not colorblind, but I don't want to think Carla's black, but I know she's black. I don't mm-hmm. want to think mm-hmm. you're brown skinned, you know, or mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and that I'm white. But the fact is we are this mm-hmm. rainbow yeah. sitting mm-hmm. in this room right mm-hmm. here. And there is
right.
nothing wrong with it. And like
right.
you're saying, what a great avenue and opportunity. Because I haven't always heard, I have some friends who've acted over the years and they haven't always embraced the fact that they could be black or Latina or mm-hmm. Asian mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. and felt like, well, I'm being typecast. And I love
right.
hearing you say, well, no, I want to embrace who I am. I want to tell
yeah.
my story. I want to tell the stories of my generations. Right. I just think that's phenomenal.
Oh, thank you. Yeah.
And I hope you're asking that that's... for my...
No, but
it just was inspiring to listen to you because, and then thinking about Hamilton, I have not seen the show. I want to see it so badly.
Oh, me too.
But just watching the different things that I've seen on TV, as I was watching some of those beautiful musicals, I thought, I don't notice that person's black or that person's Hispanic. Or I'm just listening to an amazing, you know, song or scene. And why it's 2019 and we're talking about that.
Why does it have to be such a big deal?
Now.
Why does it have to be about that?
Right.
Yeah.
I just think it's beautiful.
It is. It is. And so that's the hope, is that I can be inspiring to other actors who feel like, oh, well, I can't audition for that because they didn't say, you know, brown or black. They didn't say so. And I am that skin color, so I can't do that.
No, don't limit yourself.
Get out there.
Absolutely.
Get out there and audition.
That's good.
Yeah.
You could apply that in life.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So Statera, who can join Statera?
Really, anyone can join. You can go online to our website. It's StateraArts.org, and Statera is S-T-A-T-E-R-A, Arts, A-R-T-S.org. And, anyone who's interested in joining can join at any point in time. All you have to do is pay. There's an annual fee, and there's the general fee and also a student's fee. So we encourage students. You know, it's obviously cheaper for students to join. But once you're a member, there's networking opportunities, there's special access to events that Statera might have going on, there's professional development as well, discounts to events, and ultimately service to your community and helping other artists by spreading the word about Statera. And this year, we are really proud to announce our annual conference is going to be going on in New York City.
Oh, nice.
And it's this October 25 through 27. Okay. Yeah, and... the focus is on continuing this idea of gender balance in theater. And the theme is specifically coalition building. So that's going to be going on in New York. And again, you can go on our website to find out more information if you'd like to attend, or just find out, you know, who are going to be the guest speakers and what sort of panels are going to be going on. But I'm really excited about this conference. And it's just a great way to kick off, you know, another wonderful experience with Statera. I should mention Statera's entering its fifth year, I believe, so it's still very new, and we're all about just, you know, spreading awareness about this organization to artists so they don't feel alone.
Is it newish in Dallas?
Yes, very new in Dallas. I mean, there are quite a few of Dallas. I mean, I'm an ambassador. There's another here based here in Dallas. But we're also focused on building a mentorship program. Again, you can find the information online. But this mentorship program is about, you know, making sure that there's these advocates for Statera in different regions. Mm-hmm. And so having these regional coordinators, you can address the local needs of women artists in that community. So, right now we have our closest mentorship program is in Houston. So I'm hoping that in this next year we can have a Dallas mentorship program. And so anyone who might be interested in becoming a member or a mentor, you can go on, again, StateraArts.org, find out more information about that. Or if you're interested in having someone mentor you as an artist, you can go online as well and find that.
That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, we wanted to ask you about, because as you said, that you can speak Spanish and you speak different English dialects and accents. That's the way to say that, right? How did you become so versed in language?
Yeah, well, it's interesting you ask this because I am a voiceover artist and it's a big part of what I do. I love doing it. And I guess from a very young age, so my parents spoke to me in Spanish as I was growing up. It was my first language. So that's how I got, you know, the Spanish in me, and I'm happy to be passing it on to my boys. But as a very young child, I always was fascinated with dialects and accents too, and would just kind of play around with them. I remember my parents would just laugh when I would, you know, do a version of some Southern. I think I would try to be like Dolly Parton, and I would do, you know. And so, you know, just had fun. And by the time I went to grad school, I was like, oh, I can study this. I can learn how to actually teach myself accents and dialects. So. During my, I think it was my second year of training at SMU.
Yes.
Yes, they teach you the International Phonetic Alphabet. And so you can actually teach yourself or essentially write out the sounds, the sound changes in your text. And you can learn how to, you know, how to speak a specific dialect, which dialects are basically anything in the U.S. For us, would be anything in the U.S., like, you know, Boston or Southern or Texas Southern or Alabama or New York. And then accents are, you know, anything, a non-English speaking person what they would speak mm-hmm. if they were to speak English. So it's, you know, a French accent or Spanish accent or Italian. And so I love it. And I've also coached students at a high school recently. I coached them through some accent work.
Oh, yeah. How fun.
So really I was fun. Like, "You. So can you do something?
Can you help Carla? She's got sure. a southern accent.
Well, no, you can't. No, you can't help me, but I want
to. I'm just playing, sweetie.
She's got that southern. Yeah, I mean, I some of my favorites, you know, I really love to do the Long Island
accent.
Oh,
I love it.
You know, that's something that's just really fun. Now, I lived out on Long Island for some time, so, you know, it was something that I would hear all the time, right? And it was just so much fun. I mean, I just love it. And the way they would talk and the way they would engage. I mean, it's just so much fun. And then I came out here, you know, and it was like, oh, this, over here there's, you know, some more of that southern. And I mean, I'm getting it, you know, I'm getting around. And I mean, I like to, you know, talk like, you know, but I think it's much more of a general southern, you know, it's not real specific. Because I know now there's Texan southern and there's Alabama.
It's entertaining just to watch her face while she's doing this, you guys.
You kind of have to assume the role, you know, you just have to.
You should be in Dumpling. Did you see that? That was so adorable.
Dumpling, no.
It's on Netflix. It's like an hour long show about a girl who lives in the South that's obsessed with Dolly Parton. But it's a story of sort of a self-image because her mother's mm-hmm. Jennifer Aniston was a famous, you know, what are those little pageant queen?
Uh-huh.
And
yes,
Dumpling's
yes.
not made for that. But it's love just it. Beautifully done. Oh, okay. But there's no way most of those people have natural southern accents and they just pulled it off. It was great.
Oh, really?
It's a yeah. very sweet show.
Oh, good. Oh, good. Yeah, and I mean, the use of accents and dialects is definitely useful on stage, for sure. I feel like nowadays with TV and film, you will have someone, you know, that they hire to kind mm-hmm. of be a voice or dialect coach. Mm-hmm. And that's where they really want to make sure. I mean, you got to be as tight as you can so that you're not, you know, having any real Southerners go, that's not Texan, you know.
Right,
that's not,
right.
You know, you're not offending anyone. But yeah, and then as a... You know, as a Latina, for sure, I have to play sometimes with a Spanish accent because mm-hmm. that is, you know, that is where I get my work.
Yeah.
You know, and in that case, I'm just channeling my mother. You know, right. it's really what it
and
is.
And your mother is adorable. I remember meeting
so
her
wonderful.
Several years ago.
Yes.
She is precious. You just want to take her home.
Yes.
She really is. She's adorable.
I can't believe she made it in this interview. Of course she did.
Course.
My mom
your
is.
Mom
yeah.
Is,
I mean,
she was
she
just
is.
Sweet. I think you were pregnant with your first son. And
yeah,
she came for Christmas or Easter or something. And I just remember mm-hmm, mm-hmm. when I met her just thinking, she's so adorable.
I know, she
she's
is.
Everything
she is
you
such
said.
A sweet
she's
woman.
Just so
oh,
sweet
man.
Loves you so fiercely. It was just, she
oh,
was
yes,
precious.
Yes, and she is a supporter of what I do. I mean, she is, yeah, my number one cheerleader. So definitely owe a lot of, you know, who I am today to her for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's so yeah. fun.
Do you ever have opportunities, maybe even after a show, maybe it's after a show where maybe some of the belief system didn't exactly jive with who you are as a person? Do you ever have opportunities after a show to connect with people and to
yeah,
kind of
more and more theaters in Dallas and DFW are having talkbacks afterwards,
mm-hmm.
and I love that.
Oh,
I love
very nice.
That they're doing that. So they'll ask audience members to stick around for 5 or 10 minutes after the show,
mm-hmm.
and you can talk to actors who are in the production, or you can talk to the director mm-hmm. or the playwright, and it's a way for you to ask questions. And a way for actors and anyone involved in the project to connect with the audience. And so, yeah, like this production of The Moors, it keeps coming back to it. But The Moors, man, I mean, there were some audience members who would stick around for the talk back and were just furious, saying, I don't know why this production is being performed here, you know, really unhappy. And then other talkbacks where people were saying, thank you, you know, like this play is empowering and it's motivating to women. And because mm-hmm. there were a lot involved with it when it comes to just, you know, women on stage
mm-hmm.
and it was you know, I was really proud of it, very proud of the production, but yeah, you're always going to have people who aren't really connecting with it
mm-hmm.
and a talkback is a way to connect with the audience and find out, okay, where are we missing the mark, you
right.
know? And is it we're missing the mark because we're not telling the story the way we need to tell it, or is it, you know, maybe these people just really aren't, this wasn't
right,
their cup of
right,
tea in the
right.
first
right.
place.
Right. Yeah. And that's
right.
going to happen.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
But talkbacks are a way to definitely connect
yeah.
and find out how this is being received.
Yeah.
And yeah,
that's
and
neat.
Making sure that the audience is taking it in, you
right,
know,
right,
in
right,
a way
right.
that serves you.
Right,
yeah.
right. Well, Vanessa, I was also wondering, how do you share your faith in your field?
It's a wonderful, wonderful question. I don't often have opportunities to share my faith in my field, but I have taken them on. Most recently, I played Mary Magdalene last year in the Easter service at our church at Highland Park United Methodist Church. And that was really, an experience. It was nerve-wracking because, you know, oftentimes theater and my church community are very separate. And as I was preparing for that monologue, which was written by a church member who has a theater background and who actually worked quite a bit in the DFW theater scene, he wrote this wonderful Mary Magdalene monologue where she goes to the cave, to the tomb, and sees that Jesus is no longer there, his body's not there. And man, I was nervous because, you know, when I perform for people who I know or people who know me, it is so nerve-wracking. It feels like I'm being judged the entire time. It's me. I know it's me. It's not them. And it's not any sort of pressure they put on me. It's me putting it on myself. But I would much rather perform for people I don't know because I'm just doing what I do. And you can take it or leave it, you know? But that experience was, wow, so emotionally charged, and I felt so connected. Unlike any other role I've played, I can honestly say that there was something spiritual about playing her, and it surprised me. You know, when I started performing it, I mean, just this connection that I had, and this emotion that came to the surface that was so real and raw. And, you know, it's not something that I absolutely strive for as an actor. You know, my focus is really to just tell the story and emotion. If it comes up, great. If not, great. I can fake it. You know, I can make it look like it's real. But when it is real and you have an emotional, real connection, and it's amazing. And it is just sort of the icing on the cake. So that was one of those. I just felt so emotionally invested in that character, and I can honestly say it had something to do with my spiritual connection, you know, with God. And I was telling a story that is meaningful. It is so meaningful and so powerful. So, that is a recent experience that I had with theater and my connection to faith. And I also, a couple years ago, did another monologue. It was in Spanish this time, and it was a monologue from another biblical story, the woman who's about to be stoned for committing adultery, and Jesus says, "You who have not sinned can cast the first stone." And that monologue was also really powerful, and it was recorded for a Catholic conference, and they wanted to have a live performance in English and then have this recorded Spanish version for Spanish speakers. So that was really neat, and I got to again perform a theatrical story from the Bible, and that was really, really cool, and to also do it in Spanish.
This was such a great conversation. It's very interesting.
We could
keep
going.
Interesting.
Thank
yes,
you.
I know. We could do a part two. We really appreciate you, Vanessa.
Thank you,
Carla, for coming.
Thank you. Thank you, Vicki.
Everyone, our radio show is a program of Love Ministries, which is a 501c3 nonprofit. You can find out more information about Love Ministries from their website, loveministriesbuilds.org. You can also get in contact with us on our website, EHEWradio.com, or on our social media at EHEWradio. Thank you so much, Vicki,
Thank
for being
you.
Here.
So good to be here today.
Yeah. We just had a great time. Mm-hmm. So everyone, we will be back next week at 6. Also, if you've missed any of our past shows, get on iTunes, subscribe. We thank you for leaving us a 5-star rating.
Five.
Yeah, get caught up with everything. So everyone, we will see you back next week. I am your host, Carla Nivens. Have a great week.